Good morning. Today's scripture lesson is from Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. I'm actually reading from the Living Bible because it's a little easier for me to understand. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we give thanks for the scripture lesson that was given to us this morning, and thank you, Craig, for doing that. And as we've heard God's word and seen it, let us offer this moment and ourselves to God's Spirit. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I ask that you would enable me now to proclaim your word to your glory, God. And that you would open all of our hearts and our minds to its understanding and its meaning for our life and how you seek to offer us life. So come, Holy Spirit, minister to us. Open our hearts and our minds now, that we may be made and shaped into your likeness. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're continuing in our series called Something More. Where we're talking about how we can create an environment for ourselves where we can experience the abundant life, the fulfilled life that Jesus talks about. And the most single important factor, I think, when it comes to your ability to thrive personally and to grow spiritually, it really comes down to how you're able to manage your personal life. Now, of course, that's not all that is necessary to grow spiritually. Being a part of a nurturing community of faith is something that plays an important role in our life. But if you don't have your inner world, your personal life in order, then you're always going to flounder. That's why in this series we've been talking about how we can create the kind of environment for ourselves that is conducive to spiritual growth. And today we're going to be tackling the toughest element of them all, I think, and that is taking charge of your thought life. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing the quotes and reading the books of Norman Vincent Peale. Any of you remember Norman Vincent Peale? You remember his famous book, The Power of Positive Thinking? And one of his more famous quotes is, "Change your thoughts and you'll change your world." Change your thoughts and you'll change your world. And there's a lot of truth to that. But I remember there was a lot of people who really objected to that idea, saying, "That's just too simplistic. It can't be that easy to change your life by simply changing the way you think." And what I would say to those who object to this idea is that if you think it's easy to change the way you think, to change your thought process, then you simply haven't tried it. Because developing a new way of thinking is probably the hardest thing you will ever try to do. As Henry Ford said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why so few engage in it." Actually, the problem is not that people don't engage in thought. The problem is that we often tend to engage in and spend too much time in the wrong kind of thinking. Trying to turn that tide, trying to learn how to think right, it is not an easy thing to do. It's unlike any other discipline you will ever try to master. Because it's not like going to the gym one day and after exercising, you're done for the day. No, this is something, taking charge of your thought life is an ongoing process, day in and day out. It's an all-day process, and it is hard work. I mean, do you know how many thoughts that you tend to think in a day? And I've looked, kind of researched this. Experts differ on what they think, but some believe that it's either somewhere between 20,000 to 70,000 thoughts within a 24-hour period goes through our minds. And even on the low spectrum of that scale, that's a massive amount of thoughts to have to deal with every day of our lives, Especially when you consider that in Richard Rohr's book, The Art of Letting Go, he quotes a clinical psychological study that claims 90% of our thoughts are repetitive and negative in nature. 90% of our thoughts are repetitive and negative in nature. In other words, we tend to rehash the same negative thoughts over and over again throughout the day, day after day. Find any truth to that? Well, and this is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on since the beginning of time, which is why the Bible tells us over and over again that we need to take charge of the way that we think. The Apostle Paul says you are to be made new in the attitude of your mind. In other words, we are to learn how to think in a new way. He also says in Romans that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is another way of saying change your thoughts, and you change the world around you. But you not only change the world around you, you change yourself. You will experience a personal transformation. And all of this sounds may sound to you really easy until you actually try it. Because the fact is, we are a people who tend to gravitate, and we're prone, as Richard Rohr says, to negative thinking. It just seems to be part of our fallen nature. We're drawn to it. Neuropsychologist Rick Hansen, the founder of the Wellspring Institute, says that we are wired to think with a negative bias. That our minds are naturally, we just tend to focus on the bad, and we disregard the good. Or we discard it. In fact, he describes the brain as Velcro for negative experiences and Teflon for positive experiences. Well, this may be our nature, but as Scripture tells us, we don't have to live this way. And we shouldn't live this way, because negative thinking doesn't help any of us. It's not good for any of us. We've all heard the placebo effect. You know, you take a sugar pill thinking that it's something else. And if you take that placebo thinking that it's going to help you to be well, then there's a better chance that you'll actually get better or get well. Well, those in clinical research have also identified what they call the nocebo effect, which claims that people with negative expectations about their treatment are more apt to experience a negative outcome. And we know that's true. We've seen this been shown over and over again in clinical studies, that those who have a positive outlook on life tend to live longer. They tend to experience a more fulfilled life than those who have a negative outlook. The catch is, that doesn't come naturally for us. Just as we are prone to sin, we are prone to negative ways of thinking. It just seems to feed our sinful nature. This is why I think so many politicians build their platforms not on their own achievements, their own successes and abilities, but rather on pointing out the negative claims of their opponents. You know, they know that negative campaigning works better than positive campaigning because people are drawn to that. And most people, especially those with no spiritual discernment, fall in for these kind of things. And I know, I digress. But it just comes down to this. The kind of thoughts that you entertain throughout the day of your life, every day, day in and day out, they have a major role in creating the kind of environment for your life that you live in. Philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard said, "Our life always expresses the result of our dominant thoughts." In other words, your life can either be shaped by those negative tendencies and toward sinful and negative thoughts, or they can be shaped and transformed by a redeemed desire for a renewed way of thinking. A way of thinking is described by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, that it's not on worldly wisdom or earthly ideas, but on things above. Now, each topic that we've talked about in this series is very important. I mean, none of them can be discarded or overlooked when it comes to creating an environment that is conducive or helpful to spiritual growth in our lives. But this topic that we're dealing with today is, I think, one of the biggest challenges, because it requires the biggest change. Albert Einstein said, "The world we have created is a product of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." So whether you struggle a little or whether you struggle a lot in this area of taking charge of your thought life, there's room for us all here for improvement, I think. For the next few moments, I want us to talk about three strategies that I think could help us to change the way of our thinking for the better. The first strategy goes back to what we talked about in week two, and it is to be mindful of thought-provoking influences. Be mindful of thought-provoking influences. Because, time to time, you're going to hear a sermon, you're going to hear a speech, or you're going to hear or maybe read a book that makes you say to yourself, that has some interesting, thought-provoking ideas. But the truth is, everything that you read, everything that you see, that you watch, in some way is thought-provoking. The question is, what kind of thoughts is it provoking? Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the principle of garbage in, garbage out, and how what you repeatedly put into your mind day in and day out has a profound impact upon you. It shapes your thought life. It shapes your emotions. It ultimately shapes the way that you act and your actions. This is why we need to be ruthlessly selective about what we allow to influence our thinking. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves." In other words, the battle for holiness begins in our minds. It begins with how you think. So Peter says that we need to pay attention. We need to be prepared and ready to deal with all those outside temptations that threaten to lure us and draw us astray. And focus instead on what we know to be true. The writer of Hebrews says we must pay greater attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Here I think he's telling us that we need to make it a point to focus on the truth of God's word and the message of the gospel rather than to deal on the wisdom that's being proclaimed by the world. Because when we fail to focus on God's truth, we put ourselves at risk of falling away. Now, I spent the entire second sermon of this series dealing with this particular topic, so I'm not going to belabor this point this morning, other than to say we just need to be ever mindful of what we allow to provoke our thoughts. If you want to overcome your natural-born negative thinking bias, you need to make it a point to fill your mind with positive, empowering, uplifting, God-honoring content throughout every day. There's so much negativity. We have to be intentional about this. And it doesn't mean you bury your head in the sand and you ignore what's going on in the world around you. It means that you don't hang your hat on everything that the world says, but rather you choose to hang your hat on what God says, the truth of God's word, the uplifting message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then that leads us to the second strategy that I think we can use to change our way of thinking, which is to declare some thoughts off limits. It's simply to declare some thoughts and some ideas and to say to yourself, "I'm just not going to go there. I refuse to go there." Now, this is a point I think Jesus is making in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, when he says, "I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So thinking the wrong things, thinking wrong about other people, can wreak havoc in our spiritual lives. And for this reason, we just have to declare some thoughts off limits. And there are other thoughts that I think we need to declare off limits for ourselves as well. For example, in Psalm 73, it says, "My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked." So what's he saying here? He's saying don't have envious thoughts toward others. Don't dwell on your jealousy of others. Simply put those thoughts aside. Dismiss them. Make them off limits because they never lead to any good for you. Also in the Gospels, we have Jesus saying on several occasions, "Do not be afraid. Do not worry." And we hear those words, and we often make the mistake of thinking that fear and worry are purely emotions. And so we respond to Jesus' words by saying, "How can I do that? How can I not feel the way I feel? I mean, I can't help the way I feel." But that's not what Jesus is addressing. Jesus is addressing our thinking. Because worry and fear and anxiety begins with what we're thinking. They are a byproduct of our thoughts. So if you want to create a personal life environment that is free of worry and fear and anxiety, then you have to put all those thoughts that are leading you to worry, fear, and anxiety in your off-limit file. I know, it's easier said than done. But have you ever seen one of those signs in a parking area that says, "Don't even think of parking here"? Ever seen one of those signs? I don't know who came up with the wording for this sign, but I think they really had the right idea, because if you really want people not to park here, the best way to prevent them from parking there is to tell them, "Don't even think about it in the first place," right? Don't even think about it. I mean, if the sign would have said, "Might we suggest that you consider not parking here," you think that would have worked as well? I don't think so. I mean, the point I'm making here is that we need to take the same hard-nosed approach to some thoughts and ideas in our lives, some of those temptations we have out there, as this sign says. Don't even think about it. Just declare it off limits. Some thoughts, some ideas need to just be off limits. Of course, there are those who would say, "But, you know, I can't control my thoughts. These thoughts just pop into my mind all the time." Well, I love Martin Luther's response to this when he said, "You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest." Right? It's true. Thoughts are going to pop into your head, into your mind all the time. It's kind of like when you get on the computer and you have these ads, these annoying little ads that pop up. And I don't know if you have that, but you don't have to dwell on those things. You don't have to dwell on those thoughts. Just like when that annoying ad pops up on your computer screen, you click on the little X in the top right corner, you close that window, and you move on. You say, "Destructive thought, I'm not going to let you take root in my life." You just declare them to be off limits. All right, I think that will lead us to our third strategy for changing our way of thinking. That is, when you're tempted to think the wrong things, you're tempted to think in the wrong way about others and about the world around you, you can intentionally redirect your mind to think in the right way. And one of the ways that we can do that is to make a to-think list. A to-think list. All of us here have some kind of to-do list that we use to schedule our day, to list out the things that we're going to get accomplished, to, you know, how you're going to spend your time. Maybe you have your to-do list on a day timer. Maybe you have it on your calendar. Maybe you've got it on your phone. Or maybe you're one of those who keeps track of it mentally. But no doubt, all of us here operate from some sort of list that we use that directs and shapes and all the things we want to get accomplished or in our day. We all have that means. What if you were to create a to-think list? What if you were to make a list of all the things that you want to focus your thoughts on throughout the day? What if you were to say, for example, "This morning on my way to work, I'm going to focus my thoughts on all the reasons that I love my spouse. That's my focus. Not the worries of the day, but that's what I'm going to focus on." What if you were to challenge yourself to think of three times when God answered your prayers? Or to think about the fondest memories that you've had with your family over the years. Or to think about five things, five blessings that God has given you in your life that you certainly didn't deserve. Yeah, you get the idea. You can go on and on with that. What if you were to create an itemized to-think list that you would use every day, sort of like you use your to-do list every day? What if you were to decide to become proactive in your thinking to ensure that your mind is being engaged by uplifting, positive, the most empowering thoughts possible? Can you imagine how that would change your life? I can only believe that that would be revolutionary in the way that we experience the world around us. Because remember, when you change your thoughts, you change the way that you experience the world. You change your outlook. You change your perspective. Even when your circumstances around you are not what you would want them to be, you know that when you get your thought lives in order, you begin to see the world and your problems through God's perspective instead of through the filter of fear. You begin to look at things through the filter of faith. I didn't come up with this idea. Actually, we find it in our text for this morning, the Apostle Paul. Listen to this again where he says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." In other words, he's telling us to make a to-think list. He's telling us to focus our minds on these kinds of things. So here's my challenge for you today. Because, you know, this challenge to change our way of thinking, it's not a try it for an afternoon and see if it works kind of thing. This is a process that takes a long time. It takes time. Henry David Thoreau said, "As a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kinds of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives." So like Thoreau, I'm suggesting that we have to be in this for the long haul. And we don't lose weight overnight. You don't get in shape overnight. You don't create financial stability overnight. And the same is true when it comes to your thought life. So this is my challenge. Either mentally or with a pen and paper, make you a list of all of the things, the thoughts, the ideas that you need to declare as being off limits in your life. Jealousy, greed, frustration, fear, lust, anger, despair. I mean, you know what those thoughts are that wreak havoc in your own life. Whatever they are, don't allow them to lie in the shadows anymore. Call them out by name and say to them, "You're no longer welcome here anymore." And when you catch yourself going back and thinking those things or giving into those sinful and negative thoughts, then shoo the bird away and shake the nest from your hair. Which brings us to the second part of the challenge. And that is to take some time to make a to-think list for yourself. Make a list of the thoughts and the ideas that are worthy of your attention. Things that were described by the Apostle Paul, things that are true and honorable, just and pure, lovely and admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Make a list of these things that you will seek to remember and to think about every day in your life. Remember that when you change your thoughts, you change the way you experience the world around you. For as Kierkegaard said, your life always expresses the result of your dominant thoughts. And what I'm talking about here, easy? Absolutely not. This is not easy at all. Our natural born negative thinking bias and sinful way of life, it's going to, at every stage, it's going to try to fight you on this. It'll put up a fight the whole way. And that's why many who try this don't stick with it. But if you want to experience a something more kind of life, if you want to experience the life that Jesus promises us flowing through your every thought, your every word, your every deed, then you have to be willing to put forth the effort that it takes to take control of your thought life. You do that by marking some ideas and some thoughts as just being off limits and others as being your top priorities. For when we do this, and it's not something we can do on our own, when you are struggling with this, you ask for God's Holy Spirit that promises to help us with this. Or when we try to do this, we will be among those who are being transformed by the renewal of our minds. Let us pray. God, we thank you for these words. They remind us of how we need to think, the power of what we allow ourselves to think, have upon our lives, but not just upon our lives, upon our interactions with others and the world around us. So God, we lay before you our confessions of our thought life and how they have often, we've allowed ourselves to be drawn away from you and to live lives in not accordance with your will. So Lord, you know each person, the areas that we're struggling with in this, and I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to think upon your truths, to base our thoughts upon your word for us, the hope that you give us, the promises you give us, to fill our thoughts with empowering and uplifting images and recollections and thoughts toward the future, so that we'll be changed by the renewing of our minds into the people you call us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.